discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
I have missed all of you so much. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you are looking very nice. But tell your neighbor, but I think I'm looking nicer than you. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Well, it's great to be here. Yes, it's great to be here. Yeah. So it's just exciting to see all the things that God is doing, you know, in our lives. The auditorium is a reflection of what is happening in our lives. Yes. And I'd like to appreciate your zonal head, your zonal pastor, and his beautiful wife. Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, a faithful man who can find. When you find someone who is faithful, it's a treasure. A faithful man is a treasure. You know, so I want to thank you for being faithful, for being loyal, for being a wonderful son and a daughter. Many years ago, we're all just having a nice time in our little church in Kumasi, in Asafo. And then God told me, start a church in Accra. And I called two of my best at that time, Pastor Eliel and Pastor Mark. And I said, go to Accra and let's start church there. And they were just 22 years and 23 years. But they moved and got it done. Then after some time, he said, let's spread. People are coming from Kasua. Let's take the church to them instead of letting them come all the way to Madina. So Pastor Marco didn't know Kasua at all, moved to Kasua. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Rosie and her husband, I mean, all these wonderful people, you know, came. And I think, I don't know how many years has it been? This is the 10th year. It's been 10 years. Wow. In November. And look at what God has done for himself in just some few months, just some few years. It's a blessing. It's a great blessing. So I celebrate you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making a work. I'd like to also thank all the branch pastors. Thank you for your work and your labor. Yeah. You are all faithful people. Thank you for making a work where you are. And I can promise you that very soon you will be having a nice auditorium where you are. And when we say you should move and come here, you would not want to come because your auditorium is so nice. Like, why should we move? But you will come. You will come. You will come. Hallelujah. This place will be so full, you can't come. You can stay away. Be where you are. Hallelujah. But that is the blessing of oneness. You know, the more the church works when we are one. Do you see? Yes. If I come here and I feel like I'm an alien, it'll be a problem. Yes. It shouldn't be like, we shouldn't come to your church and feel like aliens. Do you see? Yeah, because we are family. And did you give birth to yourself?
Oh.
Ask your neighbor. Neighbor?
Yeah.
Lift your hand like this. And slap your neighbor. And ask your neighbor. Neighbor?
Yeah.
Did you give birth to yourself?
Yeah.
What did your neighbor say?
No.
Okay. Your father, I can tell you that your father who gave birth to you and your mother who gave birth to you have their genes in you, right? You didn't offer yourself. You didn't bring yourself into existence. You see? So always remember where you came from. Always remember the rock from which God has hewn you from and the pit from which you have been dug. Okay? So important. That's the key to climbing higher and higher and higher. Yesterday, we honored my father in the Lord. My pastor, Reverend G.W. Reverend George. We had an 8-hour service. Yes, 8 hours. Just to say thank you to him. You know, and I mean, it has to be done. Yes, because of him, I exist. Yes, so beautiful. Because of him, I exist. So it's very important that you celebrate God for the gifts he gives to you. Never stop fighting your father. Turn to your neighbor and lift your hand like this. Lift your hand. Everybody lift your hand. I want to see your hand up like this. And slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, stop fighting your father. Stop fighting your mother. Yeah. Have you heard? Tell neighbor, have you heard? Don't fight them. Even if your father is an armed robber, that is your father. If your father is a juju man, that is your father. At least he didn't use you for the juju. You should honor him and respect him. The Bible says to honor and respect, not because of who they are or what they are. Just honor them. It's your duty. You want to live long, you want to prosper. Honor your father. Stop explaining. He didn't look after me. He didn't do this for me. He didn't do that for me. At least he brought you to you. He allowed for you to be born. Because he could have said this. Your father could have done this. And they would have hated you. But he didn't do that. You are here. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. I'm excited to be here. And I believe we'll have a very wonderful time together. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this blessing. You are the one from whom all fatherhood derives his name. And we are just grateful to you. Thank you for the blessing we have to be together like this as a family. Lord, we are gathered together because of you. Speak to us this morning. Bring your word to us in a very special way. And cause us to see your glory in our lives in a very special way. Even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Give your neighbor a high five and you may kindly take your seat. Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming. Hallelujah. It's good to see everyone.
It's good to see you too.
Let us turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, I want us to read the NET version of verse 17. NET version. New English Translation. It says, "For the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous by faith will live. Oh my, I'm sharing with you on the righteous by faith will live. The righteous by faith will live. Hallelujah. The righteous by faith will live. The righteous by faith will live. You know, understanding is very important. Can you imagine that the understanding you have determines what you believe? Do you see? And what you believe ends up affecting how you live. Do you see? What you believe ends up affecting how you live. Your life is a reflection of the things you have believed. And the things you have believed are a reflection of the things you have understood. What you understand is what you believe. Do you see? Understanding is very important. Understanding is very important. Your whole life is based on the type of understanding you have. Okay? And the quality of your life is dependent on the understanding you have. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, the one who bore fruits, okay, 100-fold, 60-fold, and all of that, is the one who had understanding. It says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruits and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the fruitfulness of your life, is it okay to say that? The fruitfulness, how fruitful, the beauty of your life is dependent on the type of understanding you have. The quality of life you have, the joy you have is dependent on the type of understanding you have. The peace you have is dependent on the type of understanding you have. The prosperity you have is dependent on the type of understanding you have. Do you see? And like I said, your understanding is actually what you have believed, the things you have believed. What you understand is what you believe, basically. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's so important. There are Christians who think that Satan is very big. That is the understanding they have. In their knowledge concerning Satan, the body of knowledge they have gathered concerning Satan, and hence the understanding they have concerning Satan, okay, is such that Satan is very powerful, and Satan is very big. Satan is very gross, is very powerful, very wild. He's a very strong guy, you see. So because of the type of understanding they have, it ends up affecting the quality of their lives. Any small thing that happens around them, they think it's Satan. So they mention Satan more than they mention God. So you can be in a church, and the church's understanding concerning Satan is that Satan is very powerful and he needs to be dealt with. So all the whole ministry is organized around dealing with Satan. So the prayer is to deal with Satan, the fasting is to deal with Satan. The all the things, we are calling down fire, we are calling down power, we are calling down all kinds of things. We are breaking pots, uprooting altars, because Satan is very powerful in their mind. Why? Just because of the understanding they have. So it ends up determining everything. You see people, I know someone who puts a broom. He puts a broom at the entrance of his house because that broom is supposed to handle a certain aspect of Satan's power. A certain aspect.
Yes.
As well. Sweeping power. No, true story. This person has gone to school. You see, religion is so powerful that no matter how high you are in terms of academics, what you have been taught or what the understanding you have been given can affect you so wildly, that even though you are a professor, you still have a broom at the entrance of your house to handle Satan. Yes, with your PhD, everything. So the type of life, so this person is in bondage. If the broom is not there, it means that peace is not going to come. There's no peace because the broom is not there. As well. So understanding is everything. The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. Then it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Do you see? Can you show it to us? Proverbs chapter 4, I think verse 7, right? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Then it says, and with all your getting, get understanding. Because understanding is very important. Wisdom is very important. Understanding is very important. The quality of your life, your fruitfulness, is dependent on, do you understand the thing? Do you understand? Do you understand why we praise in church? You see, if you don't understand why we praise in church, you will never praise in church. When we are doing the praises, you'll be standing like that. You fold your arms. And you'll be angry with the people. Why are they dancing? Why are they moving up and down? You are pushing me. What is that? You are stepping on my leg. Because you don't understand the power or the place of praise. Do you see? You don't understand. So you wonder, why are they shouting? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Just because you don't understand. If you understood, it will move you. Your understanding will move you to also shout. Your understanding will move you to also do something. Sit down for 2 minutes. Your understanding moves you. The type of understanding you have, that's what moves you. And that's what attracts, your understanding attracts things to you. Yeah, so. That's why we come to church. So that we can understand. You see, Pastor Mark quoted a verse in Acts chapter 8 concerning the Ethiopian eunuch. The guy was reading the book of Isaiah and didn't understand. The Bible says that Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? Can you show? Did you come to work? The guy changing the scriptures. Why? Are you here or you are here? He's where? He's over there. Okay. Please, we are working, so remember. Father, sorry. You know, so he asked him, how do you understand what you are reading? Go to verse 30. Acts 8, verse 30. And Philip Brown did that to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you are reading? Next verse. Then he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He says, how can I understand, except some man should guide me? Then he asked Philip, he desired. So it's very important. Coming to church is a show of your desire for understanding. There's a book sitting by my bed right now that I'm reading. As I was reading it, I was just being blessed so much. And I said that the book was written in 2010. And I've seen it for years, but I've never read it. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, hey, all these things were hidden in this book 15 years ago. And I've had it for a very long time. Yes, it was just lying down. You see, I didn't desire to bring it, to open it. And because I didn't desire to open it, I couldn't get the benefits that were inside the book. Now that I'm reading the thing, I'm being blessed. I'm being, like, my life has become softer. Oh, cry. Like, I'm far better because of the book I'm reading. If you don't desire for someone to come into your house through a video, through an audio, through a book, you will never understand. And the quality of your life will be low because you just don't have understanding concerning this, how life works. Are you what I'm talking about? Yes. Your marriage will be affected when you don't understand how marriage is supposed to be. I'm enjoying my marriage now because I have more understanding now. Yeah. Can you imagine? Yes. I'm enjoying my wife now more than 13 years ago when we got married. I'm enjoying her so much. She says, it's okay. I should go away. Yeah, because I have more understanding now. Yes. A proper understanding of how things work. Yeah, when you grow up, I'll teach you. Sit down for a minute. So you have to learn to desire to watch a video, desire to be in church, desire to read a book. Desire. If you don't do those things, you'll be surprised. You'll not have much happening. All you will know is all you know. All you will know is all you know. When you come to church, you have it's a show that you want to be blessed, you want to be helped, you want to be upgraded. Okay? That's why you should be in church. So that you can hear the word of God. This guy's salvation was wrapped up in what he was reading, and he didn't know. So he asked, how can I understand, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He allowed Philip to come. He didn't have to. He didn't know him from anywhere. He didn't have to allow him to come and sit. He just, please come and sit. Can you explain it to me? Come and explain it to me. And when Philip came, look at the next verse. Can we read NLT so that it's easier to understand? Change the version. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Next verse. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Next verse. The Enoch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, the same scripture he was reading. So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Yeah. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched this. NLT has missed something. Go up. Go to verse 38. Go to verse 37. Now, let's read it in 36 is fine. King James. That's why you need King James in your life. Because sometimes... And as they went on their way, they came onto a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What hindered me to be baptized? Next verse. And Philip said, if thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. You see, this was not added. NLT didn't add it. Because that is where the thing is. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All this didn't show up in it. Show me text 7 in NLT. Or you missed it. There's no 37 in the NLT. There's no 37. There's no 37. Show me what is there. Show me. Which hair? How come your Bible there's no 37? It's not there.
Some versions jump some verses. Some versions jump some verses.
Hey. No, I mean, that is not what the man said has been removed completely. Do you get it? Like, okay, so the next verse is what? Verse 38. Hey. What a shock. Meanwhile, that's the most important part of the whole thing. Hey. Nipe be a cobra. Go to King James. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the thing. That's the main thing. I believe that Jesus Christ is there. Without that, you can't be baptized. It's not about baptism. Yes. His salvation was wrapped up in the scripture he was reading, but he would have just read it and passed by and not understand and not be saved. If there was not someone around to explain it to him. Hey, I don't know if you're understanding how important your pastor is in your life.
It's important.
My life has been upgraded many times just because of the understanding I have. I am enjoying life. I am prosperous, healthy, joyful. I have peace. Just because of understanding, like reading the Bible and understanding it, has just changed my life. It's amazing. You know, some people don't believe in giving and receiving. Because your understanding concerning it, you think that your giving is departing with your money. When you give, you have departed with your money. The money will never come back to you. So why don't I rather use the money on myself? It's, the understanding you have is determining the kind of, the quality of life that you have. Yes. So sit down for 2 minutes. They ask Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In John chapter 6. And Jesus said, this is the work of God. This is the work. What is the work of God? That you believe in the one that God has sent. Can you show me that verse? John chapter 6. Believe. Just type believe. Believe it will come. Can you help me? I think the guys are being slow. I also not close. I thought you were showing me the verse. 6:29. Show me verse 29. John 6:29. You ask Jesus. Jesus, go to 28 so that you know that what the pastor is saying is true. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How do we work the works of God? You see, because Jesus multiplied bread for them. And they were wondering, how do we also multiply bread? How do we also get things done? Then Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. When you read King James and you see on him, it's actually in him. So NKJV will tell, look at New King James Version. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You see, has to do with believing. He says, the more you believe, the more you do. The more you believe, the more things change in your life. Please, you understand?
Yes,
hello?
Hi.
The more you believe, the more things change. Your believing is more important than any other thing. Because the quality of your life or how your environment looks, how things are around you, is dependent on the things that you are believing. Your believing affects everything about you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. The Ethiopian Enoch understood the scriptures because it was explained to him. Then he could believe. And when he believed, he was baptized. He experienced salvation. When he believed, he experienced salvation. So you need to believe things concerning giving. That as you give your money, you have not thrown your money away. You have given it to the Lord, and the Lord will give to you. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Some people don't believe in Jesus' words. I'm talking about Christians. Though. Yes. They don't believe in Jesus' words. So, and when Jesus talks, they don't really like it. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. This is Jesus talking. He says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaking together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, all it shall be measured to you again. Let's read NLT. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Can you imagine? Is Jesus God?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, who is God, says that, listen, give. Your gift will return to you in full. Press down. What you gave will come back to you. Press down. Shaking together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. It will be added to you. Things will come to you. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, if you don't believe in some of these things, it's like, you will not give, when it comes to let's give offering, you will give something very small. Yeah, and you will notice that only small things are coming to you. That's only small things. Yeah. Any contract that is worth millions will not come. Because you are not interested. You showed your disinterest by your giving. Yeah, how many of you are interested in getting millions around you? Millions are coming. Hundreds of thousands of dollars are coming to you. It's dependent on your giving. Some people don't believe what I'm saying. How can you do the works of God if you don't believe? You need to believe. The way to do the work is to believe. It's to believe. Believe that what the scripture is saying, it is true. And when I do it, it will happen. Yeah. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So when money is leaving me, it's not a problem. Because I believe in this, that money is coming to me hundredfold to the glory of God. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Understanding is everything. So your prosperity is just affected. When we say give tithe, you do your face like someone is pinching you. You give a tithe of the tithe. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Yeah? Sit down for 2 minutes. Hallelujah. When I give 1,000 cedis as offering on a Sunday morning, by the next Sunday, I would have received over 10,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you surprised? What is 10,000? Sit down for 2 minutes. If you keep standing, we'll not finish the meeting. It's big. It's like it's big for my body. It's actually not big. It's not big. It's not a problem. Huh? You may not be on that level now. You may not be able to give 1,000, but start from where you are. Get the understanding that this thing works. Get that understanding. Let it settle with you. Believe it. That's what I'm talking about. Believe it that this thing works. Okay?
Yes.
And you'll be surprised that with time, as you keep doing what you're supposed to do, with time, when someone talks about 1,000 cedis of offering, you're like, ah, what is that? What is that? It's too small. I know people who give 30,000 as offering every Sunday morning. Ooh, it's a very simple thing. Every Sunday morning, 30,000 Ghana cedis. That's his offering. Yeah? You are surprised. That's why I'm sure 1,000 like a 1,000. What is 1,000? I know people who are giving 30,000. Yeah. It's not seed sowing. No. Offering. This is my offering.
Seed of Abraham.
Some years ago, it wasn't like that. But consistent, just honoring God consistently. With time, because of what they understood and how they believed in what God has said, it has shown over time. Yeah? I see the same happening for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's important. Please take your time. It's important. It's very, very important. What you understand. Your health is affected by what you understand. Even your health. If you think that, it's okay to fall sick every now and then. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? I mean, every now and then, you fall sick. Or if in your mind, your belief is that, when I turn 40, 50, I know hypertension, diabetes, all those things, they come as you grow up. Hey, it's normal. It's not though. Your belief, what you believe, is what you see practically around you. Change your believing, and the quality of your life will change forever. Now, there's something we should believe. There's a main thing you should believe. When you believe that main thing, it affects every aspect of your life. And that main thing you should believe is the fact that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. It's like all the things you need to believe has been wrapped up in one single thing that you should be. If you believe in that single thing, that thing will affect every aspect of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that thing is your righteousness. Because that is the main thing that Jesus brought. Jesus, if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says that, "For God has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Like, the main reason why Jesus came is so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins, sin can be removed, and we can be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see? That's the main thing. And the verse with the scripture we read to begin with in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, mentions how that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel brings salvation. Then it says, for in the gospel, for therein, that's verse 17, for in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The gospel is a revelation of something, and that thing is called righteousness, the righteousness of God. You see, are you in the church or have gone home?
Yeah.
The reason for the gospel, the reason why Jesus came, is to bring righteousness, to make righteousness available to you and I. So he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because righteousness is the greatest blessing any human being can have. That's the greatest thing. Righteousness makes you a different person altogether. Abraham, you know Father Abraham?
Oh.
Father Abraham had many sons. Abraham is mentioned today because Abraham had something that Moses didn't have. Abraham has something that David didn't have. Abraham has something that Elijah didn't have. Abraham had something that Noah didn't have. Abraham has something that Adam didn't have. Abraham has something, he has something that everybody didn't have. Yeah, Jacob didn't have it. Genesis chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 5. Go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying to Abraham, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So shall thy seed be. Which seed was he referring to? You see, God was not talking about Isaac. God was talking about Jesus Christ. So God preached about Jesus Christ to Abraham. Can you imagine that God preached about Jesus Christ to Abraham? God was talking about Jesus. Go to Galatians. Galatians explains. Galatians chapter 3. Let's read verse 14. Go to verse 16 so that we don't read too much. All this is powerful, but let's read verse 16. Now to Abraham, and his seed were the promises made. Then he says, he said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the seed God was talking about was not Isaac, Jacob, all the people who came to him, through him naturally. He was talking about someone, a greater. You know, Jesus was spoken of, Christ was spoken of, even in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's read verse 13. When Adam sinned, and all the things came up, you know, the curse and all of that. God spoke, he said something to Eve. He says, and the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast caused this, blah, blah, go to the next verse 15. And I'll put enmity between, he says, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, the serpent's seed, and the seed of the woman, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Have you seen it? So the seed, there was a seed that was spoken of, even when Adam fell. And it wasn't the seed of man. It was a seed of a woman. But a woman can't just have seed. Seeds are from men. Hey. We are the sowers. The women are the field. Do you see? Your woman can't get pregnant without a man. But God spoke about a day coming when a certain woman will get pregnant without a man. And that child that comes out of that pregnancy, the child that is born out of that pregnancy, is the one who will bruise the head of the serpent. He will kill the serpent. He will deal with the serpent. Do you see? So God came to Abraham to talk to Abraham about that seed. So it's not Abraham's seed he was talking about. He was talking about the seed he had promised long time. I don't know if you're understanding. So when God showed up in Genesis chapter 15 and was talking to Abraham, and he said, look at the stars. Look at all the things that are in the stars. Please go back to Genesis chapter 15. Yes. And he brought him forth, verse 5, and abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. The word number and the word tell are the same. The word tell over there and the word number, they are the same word in the Hebrew. So to number means to tell, and to tell means to number. You see, so you can read like this, and tell the stars if thou be able to tell them. God was telling the story of the stars to Abraham. And he used the stars, the constellations in the heavens, to preach to Abraham concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who was going to come. He says, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Like all the things I'm showing you concerning the stars, so shall the seed that come out of you, that is how he will be. And I'm showing you that he says that the seed is not to seeds as of many, but actually of one, which is Jesus Christ. So go to Galatians chapter 3. Let's read verse 7 and verse 8. Galatians 3 verse 7 and 8. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham. Let's read a lighter version. Let's read maybe NLT. What's more? The scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news, the same good news that we know, okay, to Abraham. Can you imagine? God preached to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So God preached to Abraham. What did he preach about? He preached about Jesus Christ to Abraham by showing him the stars and showing him things concerning Jesus Christ. And he said that, so what you are seeing, that is how your seed, which is Christ, shall be. So when Jesus came on earth, in John chapter 8, Jesus was having a conversation with the Pharisees. And then he said that, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Can you show me that verse? John chapter 8, verse 56. This is Jesus. Jesus has come many years after Abraham. This is close to 4,000 years after Abraham. And he's saying that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Let's read NLT. I saw the NLT seems to be nicer. Can you read it to me? One to go. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. So when did Abraham see Jesus' coming? God showed it to him. God preached about Jesus Christ to Abraham even before Jesus was born. And Abraham believed in what Jesus was going to do. He believed in the fact that Jesus was coming to die to take away the sin of the world and make us righteous. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 once again. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you have. This one is not saying it right. You see, he's not saying it right. Go back to King James. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number or to tell the story of the stars. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed, not seeds, so shall thy seed. There's only one seed that has been in. You read the Bible, you see that seed throughout from Genesis all the way till he was born. That seed is actually Jesus Christ. Okay? So shall thy seed be. Now look at the next verse. Verse 6, it says, and Abraham believed in the Lord. Which Lord do you think he's talking about? He's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham had righteousness imputed to him because he believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ that you and I also believe in. Because God showed him about Jesus Christ. Am I saying something that is not in the Bible? I'm showing it to you. It says God knew that we will be blessed like Abraham will be blessed, was going to be blessed. So he preached it to Abraham. God preached Christ to Abraham. And when he preached Christ to Abraham and what he was going to do, Abraham believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because he believed, God gave him righteousness. Abraham believed Jesus' victory over Satan. And so God gave him righteousness. God preached to him about the coming of the church. So God, and he believed. So God gave him righteousness. And that is exactly what happens to us too when we believe, when we receive, when we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sit down for 2 minutes. Go back to that place. Galatians chapter 3. I don't know if you like my message.
We love it.
Is it too much for you?
No.
He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Let's read NET of this verse. Go to verse 6. Look at this. It says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, Abraham believed God. What did he believe about? He believed Jesus, about Jesus. Because he believed about Jesus, God credited righteousness to his account. Next verse. Then he says, so then, understand that those who also believe what? Believe in Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, are the sons of Abraham. Show me Passion Translation. Verse 7. So those who are the true children of Abraham will have the same faith as their father. He's not saying it well. NLT. Let's see what NLT will say. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. That's okay. But there are versions that say that those who believe are the same as the believing Abraham. Because Abraham believed something. He believed in Jesus Christ to become righteous. And those of us who believe in Jesus Christ also become righteous. I don't know if you are in the church. Message. Okay, show us message. Is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham? It says children of faith. You see, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Look at the next verse, verse 8. Be certain then that those who are of faith. Oh, sorry. You are showing me another one. It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God will set things right with non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham. All nations will be blessed in you. Next verse. So those now who believe, who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham. Who live by faith. This is no new doctrine. Show me NET of this, NET of this verse. This is the verse I want you to see actually. So then, those who believe are blessed along with Abraham, the believer.
Wow.
So Abraham is a believer like we are believers. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, we come into the same category that Abraham was in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Turn to the nearest neighbor by you and say, neighbor, you are like Abraham. Because you believe what Abraham believed. Abraham's life was very different. Abraham was not like every other person around. Abraham was very, very different. Abraham believed God. What did he believe about? He believed Jesus Christ, that Jesus was going to come. And because he believed it, he received some blessings that nobody else received. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a one-stop shop. Tell anybody, it's a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
One-stop shop. You understand? Like when you get there, you get everything. It's like going to ShopRite or any of these places. When you get there, you get everything you want. Or going to Melcom. You enter Melcom, everything you want, you will get. You want air condition, you get China Mall. You want air condition, you want boxer shorts, you want bed, you want whatever you want, you will get there. That is how righteousness too is like. Righteousness is a one-stop shop that comes with everything you desire. And that's what Jesus came to give to us. You see? So in Romans chapter, go to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. So then, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He's talking about Jesus. He says, Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again or brought to life again for our justification. Or was brought to life again because the word justification, when you see justification in the Bible, is the same as righteousness. Justification is the same as what?
Righteousness.
Uh-huh. So he says, Jesus was delivered because of our sins. Let's read Amplified, maybe to help us. Jesus was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure
our justification, our acquittal, or to be cleared as to be declared not guilty, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. Can you imagine? Let's read NLT. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. So your sins is what killed Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, your sins killed Jesus. Then he says, and Jesus was raised to life to make us right with God. So now, if you are born again, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has given his righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is to be declared not guilty. Righteousness is to be right before God. Righteousness is to be pleasing to God. Righteousness is to be accepted before God. Righteousness is to be in the place where God calls you his son and calls you his daughter. Now God can relate with you. Do you understand? Righteousness, to be made righteous, is to be in the place of sonship. Now God has brought you to the place of sonship. Okay? That's what it means to be righteous. It means you now have right standing with God. It means that God likes you now. No matter what, God likes you. No matter what happens, God likes you. You are in the place where God wanted it to be before time began. You are in the place of Jesus Christ. What it means to be righteous means to be in the place of Jesus Christ. To be righteous means to be seen as Jesus. To be righteous means to be in Christ. To be righteous means to be in the stead of Christ. Ish. You are now in some place. Please come and sit on this seat. There was a place that was given to the Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? Before the foundations of the earth. God took him out of that place to come and save you and I. Please come. You are human beings. You are a representation. Man had fallen. So God made Jesus come and take man's place. So take his place where he's standing. So that God can put you in the place where Jesus occupies. So now you are in the place where Jesus was occupying before the foundations of the earth. Do you understand it now? To be in this place means to be righteous. To be in this place means to be righteous. Now you are in the place of Christ. You are in the place of the Son. You are in the place of sonship. Now God is obligated to treat you like Jesus Christ. He's obligated to answer your prayers like he was answering Jesus' prayers. Do you understand the words I'm using? I said obligated. That means that God is under compulsion to answer your prayers. If God doesn't answer your prayer, he has denied Jesus Christ. And God cannot deny Jesus Christ. So God cannot deny you.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because right now you are in the place where Jesus occupies. Do you understand it now? It's very well. So in John chapter 15. Sit down, please. John chapter 16, verse 26. Jesus says, at that day you shall ask in my name. He says, there's a certain day coming that you ask for things in my name. And he says, and I say not unto you, I will pray the Father. I'm not saying unto you that I'll pray the Father or I'll ask the Father for you. I'm not going to ask the Father for you. Jesus said, there's a day coming when, go back please, there's a day coming when you will ask in my name, you will ask for things in my name. And I'm not saying that I, Jesus Christ, will ask the Father for you. Why? Next verse. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Do you believe that Jesus is God, is the Son of God? Do you believe it? It says, because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And so, God cannot deny you. Now, when you are asking, it's like Jesus is asking because you are in him now. That is what it means to be righteous. To be righteous means to be in Christ. To be righteous means to be in the place of Christ. So when you are praying and asking for something, you are actually, because of the righteousness of God, God cannot deny you. Please, you understand what I'm saying? God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Why? Because you are in Jesus' place. When God looks at you, he's not looking at you, he's looking at Jesus. God doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. Can you imagine? Lift your hand like this and slap your neighbor. Are you afraid of your neighbor? Slap your neighbor. Tell your neighbor that, neighbor, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Because you are in Jesus. You are in Jesus' place. Haven't you read in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6? Look at Ephesians 2 verse 6. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Look at this. It says, God has raised us together as he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been raised. It says, when Christ died, go to verse 5. Go to verse 5. It says, even when we're dead, verse 4 is nice. But God, who is rich in mercy, all these things is because of the mercy and the grace of God. God did this because of his love, his great love that he loved us. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, because of how much he has loved us. God likes you so much. He says, even when we were dead in sins, he has made us alive together with Christ, or brought us out of death together with Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, it was you who was dying. God sees you, you were in him. When he was hanging on the cross. Remember, your sins is what put him on the cross. Yeah. And Jesus was hanging on the cross as you. Yeah. What is the wages of sin? Yeah. So you should be dead by now. Yeah. You should be dead by now. Yeah. Why are you not dead? You are not dead because you died already. Yeah. You died. When did you die? You died when Jesus died. Yeah. When Jesus was dying on the cross, it was you who was dying on the cross. Because you were identified with him. That's why Paul said, as for me, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, you were hanging on the cross. So you have died already. You have paid the punishment for sin already. Jesus came to take the punishment of sin.
Paid in full.
Paid in full. He took it. For what purpose? So that you will become the righteousness of God. That is why he's telling us that God is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he has made us alive together with Christ. Show us Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we're dead in sins, he has made us alive. The word quicken is to make us alive. Okay? He has brought us out of the dead together with Christ. By grace, it says, by grace are ye saved. Next verse. Then it says, and because he brought us out of the dead, it says he has raised us up together with him and made us sit together with him in heavenly place, Christ Jesus. We are now seated in the place of the Son in him. So you are now seen. When God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. You see, I don't know, it's like it's a bit difficult for you to believe. But this is what we have been preaching to you all this while. You need to pay attention. You need to give your mind to it. Okay? Maybe you are not paying attention as you're supposed to. I'm telling you that the quality of your life will change. It will improve. You'll become better if you believe in what the word of God says concerning you. Yeah. So you are now in the sun place. You are now in the sun place. You are now in the sun place. See, I'm in a sun place. Yes, that's where you are now. Yes. Abraham made a discovery. Abraham discovered something in his life. What did he discover? He discovered righteousness by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ, you become righteous. That's the discovery he made. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to flesh, has found? Abraham made the discovery. The word find is heuriskos. It means that, that's where we get the word eureka. It means to find something that nobody finds. Eh? Abraham had the eureka moment. I found it. Finally, the guy who tested the thing 999 times. Then on the 1,000th time, he found what he was looking for. And when he found it, he said, I found it. Eureka! Abraham also had a eureka moment. What did Abraham find? Look at the next verse. Verse 2. For if Abraham were justified or made righteous, Abraham was made righteous. There's no place where the Bible says that Moses was made righteous. No place where David was made righteous. There's no place. None of those people had those things. But Abraham, who is their father, had it. For if Abraham were justified or made righteous by works, he has something to glory of, but not before God. Next verse. For what's here the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When he believed, he became righteous. Have you believed?
Yes.
You believed in Jesus Christ. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous means to be in the son place. To be righteous means to be accepted as a son. To be righteous means to be where the son is. And hence you can make the requests that the son makes. That's what it means. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Righteousness is what? Is a one-shot stop. When you understand it, it makes a world of a difference in your life. Because the whole gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. You couldn't have been made righteous by your doings, by your actions. There's nothing you can do to be made righteous. The Bible says that, therefore, by the doings of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Your works cannot make you perfect before God. Your fasting cannot make you accepted before God. Your holiness cannot make you accepted before God. We are accepted before God. That is why we fast. We are accepted before God. That is why we live holy. We are accepted before God. That is why we pray. So it is the other way around. You don't do those things to be made. You have been made because of Jesus' work. That is why you do. Please, you understand? Hello? You have been made. You have been accepted, so you do. I can live holy because I'm righteous. I've been accepted. Hallelujah. Okay, so go back to Galatians chapter 4. I hope you get these things. I'm praying for you that you will get these things. That is what changes your life. He says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth Jesus, his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5. For what purpose? Why did Jesus come? To redeem them that were under the law. So that we might receive the adoption of sons. The word adoption of sons is euthesia. It's one word, euthesia. It means to be in the son's place or the son's place. That's a place of inheritance. Okay? Like a man dies and then he leaves all his properties to his for his son. Do you see? Huh? The first son's place is called the son place. You understand? Uh-huh. That's a place of inheritance. King Charles was Prince Charles before. When the mother died, he became King Charles. He's now the one who's ruling. He's now in son place. When he was prince, he was waiting to be in son place. He was an heir apparent, but now he's the heir. To be the heir means to be the one who is seated on the throne. Isn't it? Yeah. So Prince King Charles is now seated on the throne, and hence everything belongs to him. When Jesus died, he brought you to be the one to sit in the throne, where everything belongs to you now. And that's what he's saying. That's what they are saying here. Can we read other versions of this? NLT. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. It's not true. That's not what he's saying. TPT. Yet all this was so that he would redeem and set free those held hostage to the written law, so that he would receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as his children. Not full legal adoption. The adoption that the Bible talks about is not, let's say, this is someone's child, then I go and adopt him with legal documents and say that, oh, he's now my child. No, that's not what he's saying. The word adoption is to place as a son. BBA, look at BBA. BB, okay, that he might make them free who were under the law, and that we might be given the place of sons. Have you seen it? We might be given the place of sons. So there's a place. Adoption in the Bible is actually a place. It's a place of sonship. That's what I'm saying. Easy English. Show us the easy English. It says, we were like slaves under the Jews' rules, but God's son brought us to make us free so that we could become proper sons of God. proper sons of God. So now you are proper son of God. You are a biological born son of God, biological born daughter of God. Do you understand? That's what he's trying to say. So now you are in the place where you occupy the same place as Jesus occupies. Then look at the next verse. And because you are sons, you see, because you are now a son, God has sent his son spirit to live inside us. His spirit is in us. His spirit in us shouts to God, Father, my Father. Next verse, verse 7. Then it says, so you are not a slave anymore, but you are a son. And because of that, you will receive everything that God gives to his sons. Because you are his son, you receive everything that God gives to his son. You see, Jesus was protected, right? Jesus could not die just like that. Jesus could not just die like that. Jesus is sitting on the boat. The waves are coming, it's trying to kill him. And he doesn't die. He's sleeping. Why could he sleep in the midst of the storms? Because he's a son. And because he's a son, the Father protects him all the time. Now you're in a son place. And because you're in a son place, you receive everything that God gives to his sons. Everything that God gives to his sons. See, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say it like you mean it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The more you believe it, the more it works for you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is what we become when we get born again. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. Please sit down for 2 minutes. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. How many of you are born again? Give me a wave if you are born again. What are you now? If you are born again, what are you now? You are the righteousness of God. It's written, it says, but what seeth it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Next verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? And have you believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? You are saved because you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you confess it with your mouth. Do you see? It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Then he explains what it means to be saved. Next verse. For with the heart, man believeth unto what? The thing you believe, what you believe unto, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you become something. It says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So when you believed, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Because you are the righteousness of God, now you can be saved. Or rather, you are saved, therefore you are the righteousness of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what does it mean to be righteous? It means to be in the Son place. What does it mean to be in the Son place? It means to be the heir. To be the one, to be treated like Jesus. To be the one who enjoys everything that God owns. What do you say? All that he has is yours. Do you believe it? All that God has is yours. Go back to Galatians chapter 4. Let's read verse 6. Verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, Father. Verse 7. He says, wherefore, thou art no more a son, a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are now an heir of God. What it means to be an heir of God is to be in the seat of God. And if you are in the seat of God, it means that you call the shots. God likes you. God loves you like he loved Jesus. Jesus could call the shots. Jesus could say to Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, Lazarus, come forth, and he will come forth. Why? Because Jesus was occupying a certain place where God the Father could not deny him. Whatever he says will come to pass. That's the place you are now. That's where Jesus came to. That's why he came to die. He came to die to bring you to that place where you can sit in your room and say, Father, I need $1 million. To do something for you. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, at that day you shall not ask me. You shall talk to the Father yourself.
Father.
Because the Father himself loves you. The Father now loves you. Why does the Father love you? Because you are in some place. You are in Christ and you are in some place. Because you are in some place, the Father likes you like he likes Jesus. No protocol needed. That is why God came. That's why Jesus came. To give you that place of sonship. So that you can qualify. It's because you are sons. He has sent the Spirit of the Son into you. So that the Spirit of the Son cries to God. My daddy, he calls out for God. Yeah, intimate call. God is now my Father. And because God is your Father, now you can talk to him. Now you can make requests. Now you can ask for some things. When you believe it, you know. You see, that's why I came here and I came to say, the roof is done. When we're on foundation, I said, the roof is done. We have not even casted the floor. But when I came, I said, oh, the roof is done. The equipments are coming. The rooms are set, sorted. There are furniture everywhere. Is it true? Say it. Maybe they don't believe it. They don't believe it. I can make requests. I can talk.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when daddy came, we had just done filling. There was sand. We had done the footings, foundation footings and everything. And I've done filling. And he was standing at where the media side was. And he did his hand like this. Just like, then he said that, oh,
we'll roof it like this.
He just did this. So
we'll roof it like this. Soon. Yeah.
I don't know if you get the picture. He said, we'll be roofing very soon.
Yeah.
So by September, I would have finished. The roof is done. The roof is done. Yeah. And meanwhile, we've not casted
the floor.
The floor.
I know my place. Do you know your place? I am not special at all. I am not special at all. You are special as I am. You are special as I am. Because we all occupy the same place. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Sit down for 2 minutes. You can now make requests. You can now talk. And it will happen. Practically. Why? Because you are now in some place. That was April. By September.
This was April. This happened in April. Mm-hmm. And by September, it was roofed.
Oh. Yeah. By November, you were inside. It's not because there was some money sitting somewhere. There's no money sitting anywhere. Our accounts are always zero. There's no money in the account. I'm not talking because of money in accounts. Like I have some hope somewhere. My leg is on something. My leg is on a stone. And my leg is on no stone. I know where I'm seated. I know I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I know I'm seated in the place of sonship. And therefore, all things are mine. But you are a chosen generation. Let's read what's it called? Amplified. The Amplified is nice. He's talking about all of us. Are you a child of God?
Yeah.
If you're a child of God, you are in some place. And because you are in some place, you are special. Yeah. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession. No. Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. This is not what I'm saying. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. So that you may set forth the wonderful deeds. That's what I'm trying to teach about. So that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues. Can you imagine that God has chosen you to display his virtues? His moral perfections. Why are you not fornicating? You are not fornicating because you are the one who is there to display the moral virtues of God. Everybody is fooling around, but you can't fool around. Why? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are not for small, small things, common things. It's only pigs who sleep in gutters. Are you a pig?
No.
If you see a human being sleeping in a gutter, what would you say about the person? The person has gone mad. Yes. That is how you are seen by the angels when you are fooling around as a child of God. You are having sex all over the place. You are smoking weed all over the place. You are scamming people all over the place. You don't need to scam people to get money. You don't need to. You don't need to be a prostitute to get money. You don't need to. You need to remember, all you need to remember is to remember and believe the fact that you are in some place. And because you are in some place, all things are yours. Things are coming to me in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm the place of favor. The sun place is a place of favor. Sit down, let me show it to you. The sun place is a place of favor. Righteousness is a place of favor. If you have a righteousness of God, you are in a place of favor. You are favored. They can't reject me. My visa, I'll get my visa. Because I'm in some place, they can't reject me. If they reject me, it means that it's not time. But part of the rejection because I'm... No. The nations are mine. All things are mine. I'm in a place of acceptance. Are you in a church? There's one thing to believe and to believe strongly. One thing to understand and understand strongly. Righteousness. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'm assured of my future because I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The future is mine. The future is mine. Listen, I've been talking like this for many years. What I'm preaching to you, I've preached it for years. We're in a small church when I was preaching. So it's not because like we have something, that's why I'm saying, no. The way to get to where you are going is to talk like the way I'm talking and believe the way I'm telling you to believe. Look at this. It says, because we are justified, or because we are now righteous by our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm just explaining the verse to you. Therefore, being justified by faith, it means that therefore, now that we are made righteous because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Please go back. We have peace with God through our Jesus Christ. Now we have peace with God. There's no problem between you and God. You are now the loved of God. God, when God looks at you, he likes you. God likes you. That is why you should learn to fellowship with God. God likes, God enjoys you. God enjoys fellowshipping with you. Yeah. Yesterday after the meeting, we spoke for a long time. We are just enjoying each other. Enjoying the people who are around. That's how God also likes it when you come to do your quiet time. He likes it when you open your Bible, then he's happy. When you're moving around and you are speaking in tongues, you are talking to him, you are listening to him, he's so happy. He just wants to have fellowship, more fellowship with you. It's one of the main reasons why he got you born again. Yeah. Just to enjoy you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse, verse 2. By Jesus, also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So there's a place where you stand. There's a place where you stand now. That place where you stand is called the sun place. And that sun place is a place of grace. Hallelujah. And grace means favor. So it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Because of Jesus, now we have access. We have had access to a particular place. It's called the place of grace. The place of favor. Wherein we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Like, because of where we are, the word hope does not mean, oh, yeah, I'm hoping for something to happen. I'm trusting God. No, it means help. That's helpless. It means confident expectation of glory alone. Confident assurance of glory. Like, you are assured, your future is assured. It means that tomorrow will be beautiful. The next time will be beautiful. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Let me show you a verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just. The word just is righteous. Okay? So you can read it this way. The path of the righteous. Are you the righteousness of God? The path of the righteous is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What it means is that tomorrow will be brighter and better than today. So you don't look into the future with a sense of depression or a sense of hopelessness, a sense of, I don't know, will my school fees be paid? Will I marry? Will I have children? Will I have this? Will I have that? No. Are you a child of God? You occupy the place of sonship. And because you occupy the place of sonship, you are the righteousness of God. Because you are the righteousness of God, says it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Until the day you meet Jesus Christ, you are going to keep going higher and 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 higher. You are going to get wealthier and wealthier. You are going to get healthier and healthier. You are going to get more peace on every sphere of your life. No depression in your life. Are you born again? I'm looking at God's own special possession. Say, I'm special. Say, I'm special. Sit down for 2 minutes. That is your life. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Why? Because you are the just. You are the righteousness of God. What's the qualification to be made righteous? Believing in Jesus. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? It has nothing to do with your works. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Righteousness has nothing to do with this. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law or by doings, by things you do, do good, get good. You think you are set up. You see, when something, maybe you do something wrong, you don't feel like asking God for anything because, hey, I've done something wrong. He says that when you think like that, you are thinking in the wrong way. Your acceptance is not based on what you have done. It's based on what Jesus did. Your acceptance before God, your righteousness is not on the foundation of your works. If it is based on your works, if God accepts you because of your doings, because of your doing right, or your doing whatever, then it means that you can boast before God. And God doesn't want any flesh to boast before him. So he says that your righteousness is not based on you. It's based on my son, Jesus Christ, and what he did. The qualification to be made righteous is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. So it is, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ dead in vain. If righteousness comes to you, if you are made righteous because of your doings, if you think your favor, the favor you enjoy is because of things you have done in the church, you are not protocol because you need to be, you want to be blessed. You are doing protocol work because you are the blessed of God. Do you get it? You are doing protocol work because you are accepted before God. And the children of God do these things. You are not playing the drums so that you can get favor. We don't play drums to get favor. No. We don't do all those things to get, we do them because we are accepted before God. It's like saying you bath because you are a human being. You brush your teeth because you are a human being. You eat because you are a human being. You don't do those things to be made a human being. You do them because that's what human beings do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we live right. We live for God because we are the righteousness of God. Not because we want to be accepted before God.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.